If you're the mother of a son or sons and your husband is no longer around, dad is no longer around, be very careful how much you hover over your sons. They need to practice independence.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and this whole week we've been talking about mothers of sons when dad is not around. So single parenting, maybe it could be because of a death, it could be because of a divorce, and each situation is different, but by default, we're kind of assuming that the situation is by divorce. So dad may come around every once in a while, or maybe he just isn't around at all. But there is sort of that interesting friction between being female and giving a good example of what a female should be to your son, but also then raising a man when you're not a man.
We can make it more difficult than it is. Again, I think many times a little boy goes to his mom with the real questions anyway. I remember when we were spending an entire season talking to my son about his sexuality and basically sex ed at home and reading the books. And it was always at night when Rosemary would be sitting on the side of his bed that he'd ask her, and she'd come out of the room and say, I just so wish he'd ask you these questions. But Rosemary, you're the safe place. I'm the performance. I want to prove to dad. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to act like I don't have the information. You know, I'm 8 years old and you're the one I want to ask. I think that's such an important role that mom plays. And in so many men's lives, they would say it was mom that gave me sex ed at home. She taught me and told me all the things that I needed to do. But I think one of the things she has to be very careful of, mothers of sons when dad's not around, is she has to be careful that she doesn't smother this child. And the fact that her husband, perhaps in her mind, messed up so badly, I will not let this happen with my son. Mm-hmm. And I will hover and protect and never give him any independence because I will not let him fail. And she almost makes her son a project, and the protection and the putting him in Tupperware and burping out all the bad air, because as a reaction to what happened to her, to she got to this point of divorce, or he just went off and they're not even divorced. I mean, he's just gone. And the son becomes a venue for her to go to war and try to change this from ever happening again in her lineage. She has to give him some freedom. I remember talking with a single mom, and she was talking about her son just went on a field trip with his class, but she didn't let him on the bus with the class. She drove behind because she didn't want him on the bus. And I don't remember what it's because the bus didn't have seatbelts or something. Mm-hmm. And I said, do you do that alone? She said, oh, I drive him everywhere. Yes, I don't let him go do those things. He's with me in the car. And I said, well, when will he ever be away from you? I mean, you're going to home college him? I mean, what are you going to do? And sometimes a mom can get so smothering that all he has is her oxygen. He's breathing it right out of her nostrils. Mm-hmm. She breathes the air first. And so she's got to realize, I'm the mom, you're the child. I am not God in your life. And it's very hard.
It is. It is, because you know you can't, there are a lot of tools available out there, and there's a lot of things that we've learned on how to protect your child from so many things, how to raise the godly leader. But like you say, sometimes we can smother and we think it's for good. And of course, our intentions are good.
Well, she's afraid to let him fail sometimes.
Right.
And she's afraid if she let him fail, she'll hear about the failure from her ex or from somebody. And so, and we're going to talk about this tomorrow, but his failure is her failure and she can't imagine. And I think also one of the big things she's going to deal with is her truster button has been broken. She was married, and all of a sudden, wherever that truster button is in her body, it got ripped out and stomped on. And so she really doesn't trust anybody else. In fact, she doesn't even trust her child with her child, her son. And so I'm just going to keep him with me all the time. Where he goes, I go. And I will never, ever let him out of my sight. And so he doesn't get to practice any independence. And it's very, 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 very difficult for her because he doesn't get any healthy practice to failure time. Permission to fail. Can I have permission to fail? And she almost can't see a failure when he is failing. It's somebody else's fault. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult. It's difficult for him to grow up and actually practice failure and realize failure means you get up and try again. You get up and try again. You get up and try again. But she's vicariously living through him a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Now, could failure, and this is just an example that I'm thinking of. I know a lot of single moms, you do have a lot more power. You don't have to argue with anybody on what rules to set in the house. And it's harder, obviously, in some aspects. But, you know, your son has a smartphone And then you catch on the smartphone a little bit of porn. All of a sudden you take the phone away for 2 months or something like that. How do you handle that? You want him to grow up and be a man not looking at those things, but then is it just totally blocking Facebook, throwing out the computer out the window, or like, how is that what you're talking about?
Well, I think every child's a little different, and I think every age group's a little different, and it's not just a chronological when he's this age. There are a lot of 16-year-olds that are still 12, and there are a lot of 16-year-olds that are 16 and 17. And it depends on the relationship that they already have. And she's horrified, horrified when she sees that, because this is the little boy who's not the little boy anymore. But she thought he was a little boy, but she missed the fact he's not a little boy anymore. And because she's smothered, he's asserting his manhood. And I think the first question is, why did he have a phone? To help me understand why he had a phone. He had a phone. Why? And typically in this scenario, he had a phone so I know where he is all the time and I can contact him. So are there parts of that phone you can take off the phone and access to things other than just a phone? Maybe you went overboard on the whole phone thing and what how he can access everything on planet Earth rather than this is a phone to use for phone calls. We're shutting down texting, et cetera, for a while and earn it back. I think taking it personally, taking away for 2 months is a little radical.
Why?
I want him to learn how to use it. I don't want him to be without it. But you can't ever just take away and expect anything to happen. I fully agree that it's a privilege to have a phone, not a right. You can take something away like the phone, but you have to be inserting something in. Okay, I've missed some training here. I've missed some statements here. And instead of absolutely crushing him, I want to give him a relationship with a new father, with his heavenly father. And I want to spend some time. When a child comes to live here at Sheridan House, and we're predominantly middle school homes, the rules are pretty strict here, and there are things you're not allowed to do here, and no middle school child here has a phone. But they're also, at the same time, we're investing multiple things in. We're not just taking things out of this cup called the child. We're putting things in, and we have a daily Bible study in the morning early, and we get them up before we take them off to public school. They all go to school, and we're investing relationship, and we're teaching them about God, and we're teaching them to pray. And for these kids, 13 years old, some of them, they've never seen a Bible. This is a first for them.
Wow.
But we want to put in rather than just take away. And so she, I think she sees, okay, he's 14 and I found porn or whatever it is I found, very inappropriate Facebook stuff. And I realize, okay, this is the warning light. We have a problem here. And rather than panicking and screaming and calling your ex and screaming what you've done, see what you've caused, we have a problem here. If you can talk to your ex and you say, how do you want to handle this? But if he's predominantly at my house, I've got to talk to him about that kind of thing that you looked at as somebody's mom, perhaps somebody's sister, represents my gender. It's an insult to my gender. It's an insult. And I want to say this to you, honey, and I know you don't get this yet, but it's an insult to your wife that you don't know yet. You've got stuff in your brain that shouldn't be in your brain, but take all that away. It's a sin. It's a sin. And I want to help you with this. Yes, I know you're not happy about what I've done. And I know you haven't talked to me now for a day since I've shut it all down, and I've had it for a day. And I'm on the verge of giving it back. And I know your dad gave you this phone anyway when you were over at your dad's house for the weekend. But this is my house. And so the rules are different in my house. And I want to give you the opportunity to get parts of this phone back. We're going to give you parts, pieces back of the phone, but we got to talk first. So when you're ready to talk, let's go. I'll talk. Okay, let's talk about this. And then I'll tell you what parts of the phone in a progression I will slowly give back to you. What she's trying to do is squeeze out the bad air. And when some bad air gets in, because bad air is going to get in, because what, and it's very hard. This part, I think, is hard for a woman. I'm a little boy, and I'm not justifying this, but I'm so curious about what's going on, and I'm so curious about a woman's body. And unfortunately, it's so pathetically easy to get information and pictures on a body. You know, you used to have to disguise yourself and walk into a convenience store with a mustache on when you were 12 years old and try to buy a Playboy magazine and hope nobody saw you that knew you. And now it's all different. In the privacy of your whatever, the evil one has been so amazing at devastating marriages long before the marriage takes place. It's the plague of the university campus today, pornography in the male dorms. And so when it comes up in your house at an early stage, it's really an opportunity to begin talking about this, if you haven't already, that this is degrading to me as a woman. I'm mom. It's degrading to women. And it's degrading to you to put that in your brain. And so I want to process this information with you, but I also want you to know I have responsibility to help you guard your heart. You're not there there at guarding your heart. You showed me an area where you need help. You didn't guard your heart. You didn't take captive every thought, some of these verses. So I'm going to give you the phone back now that we're talking. You just can't text and access the internet on it yet. I've called the phone company and I've shut that part down. If you can't handle that, or I find out that you violated that in any way, I will have the phone for a longer period of time. Choose to be disciplined.
Mm-hmm. And so you're building up, like you said, that trust button has been squashed, but you do need to build up almost trust also. Train the child to eventually grow up, be a man, and then work together. I mean, because some moms, they want to raise their boy to constantly be dependent on her.
Oh.
And they do everything for the child because they love to be needed. And then he grows up and goes to college and she's still doing everything and they love it.
He will either race out the door as fast as he can to get out of there or never leave at all. And so she wants to raise him. I have to believe she wants to raise him to be a man. And part of that raising him to be a man is slowly helping with his independence. And it's like a yo-yo. Mm-hmm. You extend it out, you take it back. Extend it out, you take it back. You extend it out, you take it back. You don't place him in an environment where there are never any problems again. Mm-hmm. Somebody made a statement to me. I live in South Florida, and I was with a friend today. And he was saying he's moving to Kentucky. And the reason he's moving his family to Kentucky is it's just, he said, a better place to raise your family. And I said, how do you validate that? And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, I grew up in New York and then Washington, D.C. And then, you know, I went to undergraduate and some of graduate school in Knoxville. First of all, I saw more problems in Knoxville in the high school there than I saw in Washington, D.C. It's just they weren't talking about it. Down here in South Florida, we know the problems. My kids grew up here, and growing up here, they were so ready when they went off because we knew what was going on and we talked about it. But let me say, today's child doesn't live in a geographic location. They live in a cyber location. Yeah. And because of their cyber ability, today's child has access to everything, whether you live in New Orleans or you live in Paducah, Kentucky. They all have the same access and they're very, very sophisticated. Mm-hmm. My 3-year-old grandson can pretty much do anything on my iPhone. He found a movie. He found his VeggieTales by going through the things and found what he wanted. 3. They are cyber natives, not cyber immigrants like me. They can make it happen. So I want to have these discussions. And yes, I want to check. And yes, when I find this, as I'm practicing independence and taking it back and practicing independence, part of that is to be in his world and know what he's doing. Part of that is to not have him in my bed with me if you're a mom and your oldest child has just, it's become a habit when he was little. No, get him out of your bed. Get him out of your bed. He needs to be in his own bed. And he's not your friend. He's your child. So be very careful the things you process because you've got this person here who's 14 or whatever age. And it's nice to have somebody in the house to talk about. I don't know what to do about this. And I'm so worried about this. And your dad didn't do this. And I'm so concerned about this bill that's coming. He's not your friend. He's still a child. And find somebody else to talk to on the phone. Don't do these things with your child. Let them be your child, but let them also have a little bit of independence. And when they fail at independence, reel it back and practice again and reel it back and practice again. I know it seems risky, but they've got to be able to do this. Don't expect them not to express independence and go too far because there's things you've given them they cannot possibly handle. I want to put my child in a place where my child gets the practice he needs as a aspiring man. And I know if I'm a woman, it scares me to do that. Mm-hmm. But he's going to go out the door and he will not be a 14-year-old the rest of his life, hopefully. He's supposed to go out the door and be an adult. And that means I need to let him practice that. I need to be a godly adult in that child's life, not his buddy, not have him be my buddy. I need to raise my child to know I am the adult. I love you. Yes, I'm in charge. And yes, I'm going to let you practice what it means to be an aspiring, godly adult.
You've been listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. And if you want to hear this program again, Mothers of Sons, when Dad is not around, focusing on giving him that independence that your son needs to practice so that he can eventually live well being independent when he grows up, you can hear the program again at parentingtoday.org. where you can also find other programs, other topics, and sign up for the daily email blog that'll come to you automatically. And if you have enjoyed this program and you'd like to bless Sheridan House Family Ministries and help other parents also be educated on how they can survive stages of parenting, but also get through the tough questions that we all have as parents, you can text to give $10 to Sheridan House. Simply text the letters SH to, the recipient would be 41518. Again, just text SH to the numbers 41518, and that'll donate $10 to give to Sheridan House. And if you want to find out more about Sheridan House, just go to shfm.org. And for more on Mothers of Sons When Dad Is Not Around, tune in tomorrow here on Parenting Today.